This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello and welcome to the latest in LGBTIQ+ health and wellbeing, the podcast that features in-depth conversations with leaders in health and policy benefiting the LGBTIQ+ communities. My name is Triana Butler. My pronouns are she, her, or they, then. I'm your host, and joining me today is the Assistant Minister for Health and Aged Care, the Honourable Jed Carney MP. She's going to be chatting about her work as Assistant Minister, especially in developing the landmark National Action Plan for the Health and Wellbeing of LGBTIQA+ people 2025 to 2035. It is a mouthful, but it is very important work. Jed, thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate it.
Oh, Triana, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Now, I've got to say, you've had such a vibrant career across every role that you've taken on. All of it has come from really passionate advocacy for equity in healthcare. Whereabouts does that passion come from for you?
Well, I grew up in a household that was very passionate about social justice. I'm one of nine children, big sort of Irish Catholic family that was very open and loving and warm. And I'm really, every day I feel blessed that I had such a great upbringing. But I ultimately became a nurse. I don't know if your listeners know that, but I was a nurse for 20 years. And when I was nursing, I came across, I think, a lot of inequality and injustices in the health system that used to just enrage me. So I had a sister with a disability who I know was not well served by the health system. I had loved friends who were in the LGBTIQA+ community who equally, I think, were underserved by that. I have a great passion about gender bias in the health system, which I have seen firsthand through, you know, I think I've told the story about a very loved cousin who died tragically alone because of a misdiagnosis in an emergency department here. And I honestly 100% believe it was because she was a 60-year-old single woman who was just dismissed and ignored. Her symptoms were, which we see a lot. And a lot of that passion and, I guess, dissatisfaction, I kind of channeled into the trade union movement because I became a unionist and I fought for, you know, better pay for the nursing workforce, which were predominantly women, of course. But I've been really, really lucky that now I've found a role and a place for me where I can address a lot of those other inequalities that I so passionately care about. And I pinch myself every day, I promise, to think that I am an assistant minister in the health portfolio where I can really try to make a difference. So I'm incredibly lucky, I think, to be here, and I'm trying to make the most of it while I am.
And I certainly know the LGBTIQA+ communities are lucky to have you and your dedication as well. I know in December you launched the National Action Plan for the Health and Wellbeing of LGBTIQA+ people 2025 to 2035. So it is a decade of scope that is in this document. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you see are the most critical priorities that are in the plan?
Triana, first of all, thank you so much for your thanks, but I've got to say that this has been a labour of so many people, and I kind of just enabled a lot of the brain's trust of the reference group and the broader LGBTIQA+ community brought to that process. We did a lot of consultation. A lot of very brave people spoke up and told their stories of the health system and how it hasn't served them well. We had to tread very carefully across a number of very sensitive areas, as you could imagine. And people on my reference committee, like the wonderful Nikki Barth, assisted me as a good ally, but as someone who, you know, doesn't have lived experience at all, really assisted me in bringing together this strategic national action plan. So thank you to everybody out there who took part. Now, we have structured the strategic plan. I call it a strategic plan. It's a national action plan for health and wellbeing of the LGBTIQA+ community, but we focused it around five areas. So we want to build system-wide leadership and cultural change, and that has to be done with the community, by the community. So we talked a lot about community-led in this whole process, which is incredibly important. We want to strengthen preventative health care, protective factors, and build health literacy. We need to enhance accessibility, availability, and safety of services. And we want to ensure workforce capability and capacity across mainstream and LGBTIQ plus led services. To me, this is really important as a nurse. I saw it every day where, you know, you could see the people, I don't even know if they were well-meaning, but they just really did not approach someone from that community really in the most appropriate way. And building workforce capability is incredibly important, I think. It has to come from community, and we want a lot of people from the community, those communities actually become health professionals or peer support workers and work in the system. But of course, every now and then, you're going to have to go through the mainstream health service, and we want those services to be as best as they possibly can. And then last and importantly, we need to improve research, data, and evaluation. Everything needs to be evidence-based. We need to make sure what we're doing is working. And we need to have those voices represented in our data and research. So this is really, they're the five main areas that we looked at. It's a lot, but I really think that everybody is so committed to it. We really want this to work. And I'm really hoping that it'll make it better for all of those communities that the rainbow represents.
Well, to your point just then about community leadership as part of that, you know, there is a really key part of this plan around delivering safe and inclusive healthcare for LGBTIQA plus communities coming from community controlled organizations. What have you learned from the community controlled sector?
So much. I've learned, well, it's interesting because I've learned you need culturally safe and you need appropriate places for people to go where they feel safe, they feel heard, and they get appropriate treatment, which of course is what healthcare is about, is that you get appropriate treatment. And if you don't have safe places, places where people can go, where they know they're not going to be judged, that are stigma-free, that are accepting, that understand their needs, then people won't go. People will not attend a health service. It's very difficult for, you know, a young trans person to attend a mainstream GP, or it might be very difficult for a gay man from a migrant community to attend a local GP, or it might, you know, there's a lot of reasons I learned why people don't use mainstream services. So having those community-led health services has filled a gap that is so vital. I absolutely believe in every way, shape or form it's saved lives, and they're incredibly important. Another thing about that is they change the conversation. So a lot of those great places like Thorn Harbour Health or ACON, their leadership changes the conversation in the broader community. So they speak up on behalf of people. They bring things to me, to Parliament, to our policymakers. They drive change. You think of how successful we are in this country in dealing with HIV, for example, and how, you know, that is because the community-led organisations really pushed through. Without those organisations, without community-led healthcare, I don't believe change could have happened, and I don't believe we will push for further change. So it is incredibly important to have them.
We're chatting with the Honourable Jed Carney MP, discussing her work as Assistant Minister for Health and Aged Care. Now, Jed, when you launched the action plan, there were really significant commitments to invest in upscaling LGBTIQA plus services and research across the next 10 years. But of course, that leads us to 2035, 2036, which is going to be a very different world. So when you look at the world and the way it's going to look in 10 years' time, what kind of impact are you hoping that these investments will have had over that time?
Gosh, the biggest thing is that a person from the LGBTIQA plus community can walk into any healthcare facility in this country and get exactly what they need to stay healthy and well. I mean, that is ultimately my dream. I'm hoping we get there. The plan is really good. And I think there's a few steps to take before we get there, though, Triana. So I guess in the meantime, I think that, you know, we have to really focus carefully on every single aspect of the action plan, make sure that we have the workforce we need, we collect the proper data, that we work really hard across mainstream and community-led organisations, and that we work with the community and that people feel empowered. As long as I'm the minister anyway, and I may not be in 3 weeks, who knows? As long as I am here in this position, I really hope that people feel heard and included and part of the change that we need to make.
Well, I know that, you know, with a federal election looming, it almost feels like a bad time to ask this kind of question, but you've talked about your role representing the people of your electorate as one of the greatest honours of your life. And when you talk about this national action plan, it really feels like that. Tell me a little bit about your constituents and how you go about engaging with them.
Well, it's interesting because I have a really vibrant and diverse constituency. For people who don't know, it's in the inner north of Melbourne, and it covers suburbs like Northcote, Thornbury, Preston, Reservoir, Alphington, Fairfield. So it's quite a diverse suburb. And what I've learned from working with the people in my community I really like how they are engaged. They're very politically engaged, a lot of them. They like to have their views expressed. They like to be heard. And it's great because I think one of the best things I learned as a nurse is listening and responding and to concerns and understanding what people need. And so I've got a number of reference groups, for example, that work with me in the electorate. We keep up to date with latest policy changes. I feed back to them. I see it as a real two-way conversation here in the electorate. And it's been great, but I've learned from them. It's interesting because I took all the skills that I've learned from this electorate and I use it now in areas like working with the expert advisory group on the LGBTIQA plus national health plan because, you know, there I watched a very diverse group of people because it's not homogeneous, that community, you know, and I watched them work together around a table and nut out really difficult issues that not all of them had the same views on, let's be honest, and really work together, pull everything together. And I really felt honoured to be part of that. And I learned a great deal about how to pull different communities together, different views. And it's very similar, I guess, in a smaller way to dealing with a huge electorate of 110,000 voters, you know. So they're very similar skills. And I learned a lot from both of those. And I hope that those skills that I have made me better in my role and have certainly helped advance the agendas are not only my community, who I speak up on behalf of, but also those other roles that I have, like working with the LGBTIQA plus community.
You're listening to the latest from LGBTIQ plus Health Australia. We're joined today by Assistant Minister for Health and Aged Care, the Honourable Jed Carney MP. Now, I imagine, first of all, I say I imagine, there is no way I will ever go into politics. I don't know how you'll do it. And I feel like the biggest issue around that is having all of those voices coming at me at once and knowing that there are so many issues that need to be addressed and not being able to do everything that you can to fix all of them all at the same time. Like, it's just not possible. So with so much of a challenge there in front of you, what inspires you to keep going?
That is a really good question. What inspires me to keep going is when I see the good that comes from being in government. You know, this is one of the reasons I'm in the Labor Party, is because I want to be in a party of government and I want to be in a progressive government. And it's not only my achievements, and I'm very lucky that I've been able to be in a position to move some agendas along, but the government as a whole, when I look at what we've achieved in just one term, I get very proud of that because I know that we are working very hard on a progressive agenda that will make people's lives quite different. But then when people say to me, you know, I have wonderful activists in my electorate, they say, oh, Jed, I'd love to come and work for you. And I often say to them, you know what? The incrementalism will kill you. you are much better being an activist on the outside, pushing us and driving us. And, you know, I can see that, you know, it'd be frustrating, because it can be frustrating when you just see small wins here and there. But all those small wins add up to a great, you know, often to something really terrific and a better society. And so I take joy in the small wins, and I really revel in those big moments when things really, really change. And you get joy in both. And I think, you know, being on the progressive side of politics and knowing that what you're doing is better for society really keeps me going.
We had one of those really big moments just recently. There's discussion around the 2026 census and,
oh, yes,
shock, horror, the inclusion of asking questions about sexual orientation in the census. God forbid LGBT communities be counted. You know what I mean? I know you're a really strong advocate for that. So why was that particular issue so important to you?
Oh, my goodness. So many reasons that was so important to me. Apart from the obvious ones, you know, where if you want good policy and you want to make change, it's really important to have strong data, number one. It'd be really great to know who I am talking to. Like, who is this community? Like, where are they? How can I provide you health services if I don't know where you live or where you are? You know, it is such the most basic of important data collection, the census. It's incredibly important. It's important to be counted. It's a validation of who you are. And I was knee-deep in the development of the National Action Plan for the health and well-being of LGBTIQA+ people. And to think that they would not be counted in the census was just counterintuitive to everything that we were working for in that plan.
Well, I know it was planned for 2021, and then there was debate in Parliament and someone threw a hissy fit and said, no, take the question out, and then it didn't happen.
Well, it has happened now. Hurrah! And it will next time. And I was really proud to stand with the community and support that. And I think it's incredibly important on many, many levels that I'm sure your listeners would well and truly know even better than me. So, yeah.
Well, as we look forward to the future, you know, what kind of legacy are you hoping to leave behind here? Not just in politics, not just from your office there that is looking so beautifully curated behind you. You even got a rainbow pride flag there on that. Respect for that. But what kind of legacy are you hoping to leave behind through everything that you do, through your work and through community and beyond?
It's such a funny question, because you never set out to leave a legacy. You know, you just get on with doing what you think you need to do. But as I'm 61 now, and as I'm getting towards the end of my career, you know, working life, I guess you kind of want to look back and just think to yourself, maybe I've made a difference. Maybe I've made a difference to someone's life somewhere. And I'd like to think that maybe I have. You know, I would like to be remembered as someone who really believed in community and, you know, that whole nothing without them philosophy, that I always tried to include community and people around me in what I did, and that at the end of the day, because of that, we've left something really, really beneficial. I think the National Action Plan, or the plan for the health and well-being of LGBTIQA+ people, is something that I really am very, very proud of. I think the women's health package recently announced is something that I'm also very proud of, and that's will help women and everybody assigned female at birth. And yeah, I guess just knowing that I've made a little bit of a difference would be a nice thing.
Well, you absolutely have. Minister Carney, thank you so much again for your time today and for all the time that you've spent working alongside our communities and with our communities for our benefit and hopefully for everybody's benefit. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Chiana. Thank you so much.
Many thanks to Minister Jed Carney for joining us today on The Latest. If you'd like to go and read the National Action Plan for the Health and Wellbeing of LGBTIQA plus people 2025 to 2035, you can find that online and we've linked to it in our show notes so you can click through and find it there. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with your networks, forward it on to someone who you think will love it. And if you're listening on Apple Music or Spotify, leave us a review. I really like the 5-star ones the best. They're my favourites. If this podcast has raised any issues for you, you can contact QLife, which provides Australia-wide anonymous LGBTI peer support and referral for people wanting to talk about a range of issues, including sexuality, identity, gender, bodies, feelings, and relationships. QLife services are free and they include both telephone and web chat support delivered by trained LGBTIQ plus community members from across the country. Call 1-800-184-527 or to access the web chat, you can visit qlife.org.au. If you'd like to suggest someone that you think would be great right here on the podcast chatting with me, let us know about it. Send us an email, info@lgbtiqhealth.org.au. Make sure you include the word podcast in the subject line. Thanks so much for listening. I'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.